This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth is the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com, must reading for regular listeners of this program and for anybody who wants to stay up to date about what in the world is going on with Virginia politics. We're honored to welcome Bob to the program once a week. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you, Coy?
Very good. Let us begin with your review and recap of the 2009 Virginia General Assembly session, which managed to make some headlines, not as many as last year, perhaps, but there were some.
Well, Coy, you know, certainly the smoking ban, which was a great victory for Tim Kaine, who, to be honest, hasn't had that many legislative accomplishments in his term. He's had a lot of great political accomplishments. And the smoking ban was very, very important to him. Excuse me here.
That's all right.
And, you know, but most of the time, everybody was really focused on the budget cuts. And I think what happened is that a lot of people breathed a sigh of relief when the stimulus money came our way. But I have to say there's a lot of anxiety amongst the people to whom I've been speaking. They still think that, you know, this is one-time dollars. They're not sure how quickly the state economy is going to turn around. And they're really still a little worried about what's going to happen economically here.
Was that stimulus money that came in a game changer? I mean, were we going to, would it have been a lot worse had that money not shown up when it did?
Well, it certainly would have been a lot worse more quickly. The real question is what's going to happen down the road. But clearly, let's say, you know, education, they're probably able to put together, you know, $300-400 million more into education budgets. There's still probably going to be some layoffs in cities and counties around the state, but it's not going to be as bad as quickly. So in many respects, they were able to defer a lot of decisions, and if the economy turns around very quickly and we get a lot of growth, then it won't be so bad. But if this economy continues to you know, suffer nationally and in Virginia, we're going to be back next year dealing with some really tough problems and maybe even some tougher ones.
Yeah, yeah. Next year could be worse, I guess. Well, that's what everybody's saying about the economy. You know, we don't know if this year's we know it's going to get worse than it is now, and we don't know if it's going to continue into next year or not.
Right. No, you know, certainly, you know, we've reduced our projections, but you know, you have senators out there, let's say like Mark Obenchain, who's been noting that, you know, the Virginia budget projections basically say that Virginia is going to do better than the rest of the country. Now, historically, that's been the case. Whether that will continue to be the case through 2009, we'll have to see.
Yeah. Bob, I was talking with somebody recently, and she shared with me an insight that I hadn't really thought of. She said if they really cut back on defense spending as a way, nationally, federal government in Washington, if they cut back on defense spending as a way to try to deal with the budget problems, that's going to hit Virginia a lot harder than most other states.
Than some other states, that's for sure. You know, the reverse of that was true, for example, you know, 25, 30 years ago, when the Reagan defense buildup really helped the Virginia economy come out of a recession very, very quickly and more quickly than the rest of the national economy. And ironically, it was Democrats in the state who were able to take advantage of that. Chuck Robb was the governor. Jerry Belisle ran on, you know, Chuck Robb's success in managing the economy, and in part that was due to the fact that we received a lot of largesse from the federal government during that time. So if there's a major cutback in government spending, particularly on defense, that could harm Virginia. On the other hand, whenever there's a general increase in government spending, which we're likely to get right now with the stimulus package, Virginia-based companies, particularly in Northern Virginia, always seem to find a way to get some of that money.
Yeah, we're talking with Bob Holsworth, founder and president at VirginiaTomorrow.com. We're honored to have him on the program. If you got a question in Virginia politics, give us a call, 977-1070. Before we leave that subject of Kaine's legacy, with the smoking, how big a legacy is that? And that's not all his, right?
It's not all his. Now, let's, you know, to be clear about that, it was a compromise brokered by Bill Howell, against a number of people in his own caucus who didn't think it was a very good idea. On the other hand, Tim Kaine had brought this forward for a number of years. A lot of people didn't think it was a politically smart move, They didn't think that could ever get passed in a state that was home to Philip Morris USA. And so I think you have to give the governor some credit on his persistence here and his continued interest in bringing it up. The bill itself was a bipartisan bill sponsored by a Republican, Cosgrove, in the House and Ralph Northam, a Democrat, in the Senate. So it was a bipartisan bill. There was a bipartisan compromise. But at the end of the day, I think Tim Kaine is the person who really put this on the Virginia agenda. And he has to take credit for it, and it's the kind of cultural change that people will remember, I think, his governorship for.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly history-making in the state of Virginia. You know, the backbone of the economy for you know, centuries was you know, grand old tobacco there, and now all of a sudden this, it really is a historic moment for the Commonwealth.
It really is, Coy. I actually put a little piece, half tongue-in-cheek but half serious, on my blog, in which I said that I titled it Tobacco Friendly No More. And how many times have we read comments in newspapers and magazines in which Virginia is described as tobacco friendly Virginia?
Right, right.
And that's now gone. And clearly what I think Bill Howell saw was that, you know, a large majority of Virginians, particularly those in Northern Virginia, really wanted the government to take action here, and they didn't want to simply leave it up to the marketplace. Which in many respects could be a very reasonable position on this issue. If business owners felt that it was not in their interest, they could ban smoking. And if they felt that it, people wanted to come in and smoke, they could allow it.
Right.
But by and large, that free market argument wasn't holding up with a lot of people around Virginia. And I think Howell recognized that he just simply wanted to take it off the table as an issue. The interesting feature, however, was that Bob McDonnell opposed it. And the day that, yesterday when Governor Kaine signed the smoking ban, the first thing the Democrats did was to target Bob McDonnell and to say that, you know, he's out of touch with the Virginia public.
So they're going to use this against Bob McDonnell in the race in the governor's race.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be, the Democrats are really going to try to use it in Northern Virginia because they're very concerned about the way McDonnell may cut into the Democratic base. McDonnell's been running, I think, so far a very, very smart campaign. And Democrats are worried that he's not going to be easily vulnerable on some of the issues Republicans were in the past. And so clearly they're using, and they're going to use, his position on the smoking ban to try to symbolize a broader theme that they're going to portray or depict McDonnell as out of touch with Virginia values today or something like that.
Wow, gosh, that's going to be interesting to see if that has legs and if that can play. We're talking with Bob Holsworth of VirginiaTomorrow.com. And speaking of the race for the governors and specifically Bob McDonnell, tell us the very latest about the relationship between Bob McDonnell, the gubernatorial candidate for the Republican Party of Virginia, and Jeff Frederick, the current a delegate from Northern Virginia, one of the last few remaining Republican delegates representing Northern Virginia, and also chairman of the Virginia GOP. I have heard that there's not a lot of love lost there.
No, this is one of the, you know, the Jeff Frederick story is one of the longest running intra-party entertainment issues that we've had in Virginia in this decade. Actually,
he does make headlines, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back quite a bit, you know, to where you saw all the stories about Chuck Robb and Doug Wilder to find one where an intra-party battle was making the kind of headlines that Frederick has regularly made, actually, for the past year. I think what happened here is that a number of people on the State Central Committee, about three-quarters of them, signed a petition, maybe up to 80%, asking Frederick to step down as chair of the Republican Party in Virginia, essentially right away, so that they could appoint a new chair in time for the election season. Obviously, Frederick's had some difficulties with Speaker Howell over the years. Bob McDonnell basically suggested last week that he thought the party needed more effective leadership at Party Central. But at the same time, Frederick, at least last week, said that he's not going quietly. seemed to be able to recruit House Majority Leader Morgan Griffith to kind of try to call up people from the Central Committee and work on his behalf. And the same day that McDonnell was saying that he should leave, Frederick was able to recruit into the position of party finance director a man named David Renson, who's given almost $2 million to Republican causes in the last few years, the largest single fundraiser on the GOP side. What you have here is that you have the Party Central Committee, certainly supported by Bob McDonnell, trying to lead a coup against the party chair, and at the same time, Frederick saying that you may be able to succeed, but it won't be bloodless. Probably for the Republican Party, this is something they really didn't want to have.
Yeah, I was literally just thinking that same thing.
That all of a sudden you have a situation where the Republican Party seemed to be united.
Yeah, exactly.
The Democrats were in a three-way battle.
Right, right.
Getting increasingly nasty for the nomination.
Right. It looked like the Democrats were the party that wasn't united and is in total disarray, and all of a sudden we're starting to see that it's true for the Republicans
as well.
Yeah,
we're going to have, until at least next month, until April, we're going to have this, the new saga in the Jeff Frederick miniseries. Will he stay or will he go? For the Republicans, they, I'm sure, can't wait to get it over with. But can you imagine if, in this first weekend of April, the party rules say there needs 75% majority to remove him? What if the Republicans come one vote, people who want to remove him come one vote short? Does Frederick stay on? And do they wind up having a party chair that 74% of the Central Committee wanted to remove?
Wow.
Even today, you had a letter by, the kind of Republican Senate leadership telling Frederick that he should resign. So you have all of this momentum, building on the side of the people who want to remove him. But at least up to now, he's not stepping down and saying, well, he'll try to keep his House seat for the good of the party. He's basically saying he's going to try to retain the chairmanship when it's obvious that a clear majority, maybe not three-quarters, of the Republicans on the Central Committee want him to go.
Well, for me, it's just one guy that really matters, and that's Bob McDonnell. I mean, if your candidate for governor, who's popular, and like you say, and I agree, running a very smart race thus far, if he says, I want a new chairman behind me as I run for governor, to me, that's all you need.
That's not always been the case, though. I mean, the Republicans have had some, tussles about this previously as well, though never quite at this level. In the early 1990s, George Allen and Pat McSweeney got into it on a number of occasions. And I think at one time, in fact, McSweeney may have even suggested when Allen was running for governor that he might step back and run for lieutenant governor. So we've had this situation where party chairs and gubernatorial candidates have not always been on the same page. But when you just take a look at the long list of issues with which Frederick has been involved, his wife, for example, when he was seeking the position, trying to unseat, which he did successfully, John Hager, his wife sent a letter to Speaker Howell because he had the temerity to support Hager in this intra-party battle, trashing in some ways Speaker Howell. Then we had the issue with during the last campaign where Frederick compared Barack Obama to Osama bin Laden and was rebuked by John McCain. And now we have this issue where Mike Thomas delivers this letter to him, signed by three-quarters of the Central Committee, asking him to resign, and Frederick goes out and recruits the House Majority Leader and the largest funder in Republican politics to try to keep his place. It's a remarkable situation. Mostly insiders pay attention to it, but it shows you the continuing turmoil that is going on inside the Republican Party, and that Bob McDonnell, I think, right now would like to put an end to in April so it's not dragging on into the summer. The Democrats would like nothing more to have a summer rerun of the whole affair.
Right, right. This certainly benefits Democrats to see this kind of disarray in the Republican Party.
Yeah, I mean, they love the entertainment value of it. In fact, they've on the democratically oriented blogs, they were circulating Keep Frederick petitions.
And, of course, it remains to be seen. We should point out whether, if Frederick does stay, whether this, as entertaining as it can be to political junkies, whether it equates to any significance at the ballot box.
Well, I mean, I think what the party would like is really a united front.
Right.
Not only for the statewide candidates, but for the House of Delegate candidates. And so because of the tension that has emerged, between Frederick and the leadership in the General Assembly. What you find, for example, is that Bill Howell has to run his own fundraising operation for all of the party candidates in the House, and is not really going through the Republican Party of Virginia to do so.
Wow. Speaking of Bill Bowling, he posted a some commentary recently to VirginiaTomorrow.com regarding offshore drilling. Get us up to date on that.
Well, this is turning out to be, I think, a real dividing point in the campaign, and it's an interesting one because usually on a lot of issues that emerge during gubernatorial campaigns, the candidates simply differ by way of, you might say, nuance. Everybody's for education. The only difference is how you want to promote education. But in terms of this new issue emerging in Virginia, should we have offshore drilling off the coast, we're getting some very clear dividing lines. Bob McDonnell and Bill Bowling today, who wrote an extensive and well-argued piece in Virginia Tomorrow, basically say that Virginia has the opportunity to be the first state, you might say, on the East Coast to drill offshore. And to do that, we have to go through with these lease sales that will allow companies to explore off the shore of Virginia and find out whether there is anything worth drilling for. And what happened is that Tim Kaine, Governor Kaine, wrote a letter to Interior Secretary Salazar asking him to delay the lease sales in, off the Virginia coast. And that delay would make it apparent that Virginia wouldn't have sort of the first adopter advantage, you might say.
Wouldn't be rushing into offshore drilling anytime
right.
soon. Yeah.
And so what's happened here is that both Bob McDonnell and Bill Bowling are very, very clear that they want to do this. They say it's going to create jobs, that it's going to promote energy independence, that it's going to put tax dollars into Virginia's coffers, and we're just crazy not to do this. On the other hand, if you want to take on the Democratic side, Brian Moran has said he is against all exploration, all drilling. He says it's not going to result in much economic benefit to Virginia, and he thinks it's an environmentally unsound thing to do. So those are kind of the polar positions right now. Moran is hoping that that position helps them very well in, you know, in places like Charlottesville, Williamsburg, and among environmentalists statewide. The other two Democratic candidates have slightly more nuanced positions. McAuliffe says we should explore for gas, but only for gas and not for oil. He didn't go along with the McDonald's idea and Bowling's idea that they should all send a letter to Secretary Salazar asking him to not to delay these lease sales. But it really seems to me that this is going to be, from Bowling's point of view and from McDonald's point of view, a very, very clear line of demarcation in the campaign. I received a communication last week from the McDonnell camp telling me that they certainly intended to make this a top priority issue. Bill Bowling wanted to have the opportunity in Virginia Tomorrow to air out his position fully, and it really seems to me that this is one of the new issues emerging in Virginia. We don't quite know how it's going to break, but my guess is come September and October, we're going to be hearing an awful lot about offshore exploration. What do you think about it?
Now, but we're talking with Bob Holsworth. Before we let you go, here's the big question then. Is offshore drilling going to become the referendum topic of this gubernatorial election, even perhaps overshadowing the economy?
No, I don't think so. I think
drill or not drill, is that
the... Yeah, drill here or drill now, right? I think that's to drill or not to drill. My sense is that it's going to be a big issue because it's going to be connected to the economy. However, I just think the overall economic conditions and whether Virginia's been moving in the right direction or the wrong direction on that may take precedence. But at the end of the day, Coy, this is one of those new issues, and the Republicans, I would have to say, feel very, very confident about their position. My guess is they've done some polling, and they're hoping that it splits in some way the Democratic base, splits environmentalists from, kind of working-class Democrats.
Yeah, yeah. Very interesting stuff. The website is VirginiaTomorrow.com, and the man is Bob Holsworth, Virginia's premier dean of political scientists, and we're always honored to talk to him. Bob, thank you so much. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Always great to be on the show, Coy. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.